Mr. Ibante, we have 4 questions today.
Right.
Question number 1 of 4. So on mindful sitting. Dear Bante, my sitting practice is mindfulness on breathing. I have been coming to this program nearly 2 years and practice 2 or 3 times a week. Based on your guidance, I can establish mindfulness on breathing process for 1 hour and experience several transformations of the breath. My question is regarding the stage where the breath fades away and enters into a spacious opening. I try to get used to this stage and the transition as per Bante's instruction. When this happens, I feel rupture and joy in the body and most of the time. In the body most of the time. Even during the time when mind distracts and come back, I feel content and blissful. These rupturous feelings are always available when my mindfulness is sharp and in action. However, lately I get the feeling that I'm driven by these good vibes. Much merits for your advice to overcome this and continue with the practice. With metta, that's the end of the question.
So what is the question, by the way, apart from the appreciation or thanks, Chamila, what is the question? I didn't get it.
Yeah, the question is that they feel that they are being driven to the practice because they get these good vibes, because they feel content and blissful. So, so much merits for advice and how to overcome this and continue with the practice is the question.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, actually, at the beginning, I mean, we don't have any kind of desire to practice other than the kind of persuasion, other than the encouragement coming from the outside, because we ourselves didn't experience any kind of blissful experience through the practice. But later, as we are somewhat familiar with the practice, and we ourselves have our own hands-on experience, now the practice become available to us, and you know how to handle it. You know how to handle various hindrances. You know how to calm down the mind, relax the mind. And ultimately, it ends up with this kind of some blissful experience. So that is, in a way, encouraging. And we don't need to be really afraid of going through this, because this is a kind of an encouragement. And Buddha also mentioned this is a kind of a ditta dhamma sukha, which you are gaining through the practice. It's a kind of a blissful experience that you are recognizing here and now within this very life. So this, in a way, it's a kind of a motivation. But the important thing is, this is not the ultimate. So this is not something to lag on, or this is not something to depend on. Rather, we have to continue. We have to go passing this. Now you are sitting just to accept whatever is going on. You don't need to expect this. Rather, have an open mind. When you are sitting, just sit as a beginner. Whatever going to come, let me accept. I am not preferring anything. This or that, I'm not preferring. So whatever happens, let me accept. And I'm going through it. Now I have the courage to go through it. And this kind of a mentality is quite useful. Because otherwise we have a very narrow mind. I need only this part. I don't want anything else. I only want this. So that is a kind of a restriction we are imposing into our mind. It is quite difficult. Rather, how about having a quite open mind? Whatever happens, I am ready to accept. I am ready to go through it. It's a kind of a courage that we are going through. So that is something that Buddha encouraged. And while going through that, after you are experiencing this kind of blissful, say, waves, etc., probably now you can step back and watch how they are happening. Are they experienced at the same level? Are they of the same intensity? Or their intensities are changing? How they are arising? To which area of the body that you are feeling them? How they are passing away? So likewise, you are doing a kind of a investigation onto these very waves, changes, vibrations, so that you are doing kind of an experiment. Now, basically, you are in Vedanupassana. So probably you can remember in Anapanasati Sutta, Buddha mentioned, Piti Patisangvedi Asasisamiti Sikkhati, Sukha Patisangvedi Asasisamiti Sikkhati. Even when the body is going through some happiness, some pleasures, or the mind is experiencing some happiness, a pleasant moment. So Buddha's advice is to step back and watch it, how it is changing, how it is coming, how it is arising, how it is passing away. So now you are using those experiences also into your practice from the Vedananupassana point of view. So that would be the path.
Question number 2 of 5. So again, mindful sitting. Most venerable sir, today's experience of focusing on the body as the focal point was a novel experience for me. Focusing on the body, I noticed my focus settled on the areas of my clothes were touching the body, and a few minutes the feeling was only around the waist. There was some tightness and the rest of the body seems to disappear. This sensation was maintained while entering the empty space and a faint blue-purple hue. I could still hear noises in the background, but this sensation continued until the end of the session. Would appreciate Bhante's advice and guidance as to how I proceed beyond this. Much merits to Bhante for his dedication in guiding us and the team for organizing these sessions. That's the end of the question.
Yeah. Actually, this settling into the body, it's a very interesting practice. Sometimes we don't see its importance because we think, okay, Anapanasati is the best thing or Chittanupassana is the best thing. So likewise, we want something, what we think as more, profound. But settling to the body itself is a very profound practice. You know, the simplicity is taking us to more profound understanding. Now, as we are continuing, suppose that your mind is released and you are able to even experience a non-grasping state of mind. So then where are the mind going to rest? So we can't say that the mind is now associating the body or grasping the body. Rather, not associating the body, not grasping the body, but somewhat closer to the body, kind of a body awareness is available. So that kind of a bodily awareness help us to minimize distractions. So the body becomes an anchor to ourselves. Suppose there's a ship that, moving in the sea, and now it wants to stop. Now the sailors are putting the anchor so that it is not moving here and there. So it's become kind of stationed. Same thing. So the body becomes kind of an anchor to our mind. So later it becomes kind of a composed situation where one is quite happy and composed, and he doesn't want to move here and there. Because the mind has found a peaceful abiding. Like, assume that you are sitting on a chair. You are finding a very comfortable, maybe a pleasant chair. And now you sit and you relax. There you understood, okay, this chair is a very good position, a very good place to sit and to relax. So the chair has become a very good place for the body. How about body becomes a very good place for the mind? So that is the point. So now the body has become a very peaceful abiding for the mind. So the mind doesn't want to wander because the peace is available within the body. Mind is relaxing. Mind is calming down. Being with the body. It's a very interesting way how Buddha helping us to come back to ourselves. Changing our attitude towards ourselves. Rather than becoming extrovert, now we become introvert. Again and again homing ourselves. And I heard in clinical psychology, there is a concept called proprioceptive awareness. Probably some of you can search for that. It's called proprioceptive awareness. Where again and again we are grounding yourself, and you know where you are, and you know the time. Where you are within the body. What is the time? It is the now. So the mindfulness part takes care of the time. You are not in the past, nor you are not in the future, but you are in the present moment. So body awareness helps you to ground yourself so that you are not drifted. So you are in the present moment, in the present time, or the present place. Proprioceptive awareness. So that is highlighted in the clinical psychology also. So we can understand how important it is. Even today's modern science also has understood its importance.
Question number 3 of 5. The rest of the questions are actually on the Dhamma Sermon. Dear Bhante, thank you for discussing the deep Dhamma in the Concept and Reality book. Regarding the Mahathera who authored the book, is there a link to Nisarnamani Monastery and the lineage with Metta? That's the end of the question.
Yeah, there is a link. You know that Most Venerable Katukrunanjananda Mahathera first ordained in the Polgast Duwar in the down south. And he stayed there several years. And while that time, actually, he compiled this book, you know that he compiled this while in the university. And maybe he did this and that little bit of editing because of the comments coming from Venerable Jnanaponika. And that is the time he compiled this book. So later he got the message that Most Venerable Jnanarama Thero has established Nisarnavanaya in 1967. So after Jnanarama Thero has established Nisarnavanaya, Katukrunda Thero left Polgastuwa and joined with Nisarnavanaya. He has given up his previous ordination as he reordained under the preceptorship of the Most Venerable Mahathera Sri Jnanarama Mahathero. And now under his guidance, Katukrunda Thero was practicing. Now with the invitation of Jnanarama Mahathero, while being at Nisarnavanaya, Katukrunda Thero has made very excellent sermons, a series of sermons, what we call as the Nibbana series of sermons. 33 sermons are there, where Katukrunda Thero is taking various examples, going through deep levels of the Sutta Pitaka and finding out very, very interesting suttas and giving us a very beautiful explanation, interesting explanation, valid explanation about Nibbana in 33 sermons. So that is as an invitation from the Jnanarama Mahathera. So they are meeting together is a blessing point. That's a turning point, we can say, of one of the Nisarnavanaya lineage. So that is the foundation actually even today we are using. So this foundation laid by Most Venerable Jnanarama Mahathera and the foundation laid by Katukrunda Jnananda Thero is the kind of a ground we all are working on. So it's a kind of a solid ground. So if you have a thorough understanding on the Dhamma that they are talking, the suttas they are referring, the interpretations they are giving, connecting those to the practice, so it's a very solid ground. So it's a very, very strong foundation. So it, therefore, it's coming through the lineage. And after the passing away of Jnanarama Mahathera, by the way, Katukrunda Thero has left Nisarnavanaya. He established his own monastery in Pahankanuwa. There he discussed various other sermons and he left that place also and then ultimately go to another place. I think there he made another 20 sermons with respect to Patisamuppada. So that is also there, called 20 sermons on Patisamuppada. So those are the things that I like to share with you.
Question number 4 or 5. Dear Bhante, can you explain a bit more about Nippapancha equal to Nibbana? Seems this is more straightforward and direct than understanding the meaning of Papancha. That's the end of the question.
So actually Nippapancha is a synonym for Nibbana, as I said. And we can say it's the complete avoidance of papancha. Now you need to know the meaning of papancha. So the absence of papancha is called nippapancha. So, I mean, for the time being, let's take some kind of an explanation. What is the meaning of papancha? Actually, Katukrunda Thero has coming up with this, with a definition as conceptual proliferation. It's a synonym for papancha, or that's the meaning of papancha, conceptual proliferation. So that means various concepts are there and we are gathering various concepts and then we are using our mind to conceptualize. Ultimately, we are thinking in that line and now it becomes thinking this way, that way, to the past, to the future, and ultimately mind is widespread thinking to many directions. Manifold type of thinking. So that is where you become a victim of that very thinking, that very papancha. So that is the state of papancha. So nippapancha is where you don't do that. You keep the mind quiet. various thoughts can happen, but you are not promoting thinking, or you are not becoming a slave to thinking. So thinking may happen within your supervision, but you are not a victim of thinking. So that is very, very crucial point in the Vipassana practice. So that is where the Nippapancha is highlighted. That is where the path is actually highlighted. So that is why Venerable Anuruddha can't think further, because the eighth vitakka invites him to calm down, invites him to stop thinking, stop proliferating, and be in silence. Yeah.
Question number 5 of 5. This is again our Dhamma sermon. Dear sir, the first thought of a great man, I understood it as someone who wants a little Dhamma applicable to him, not for the one who wants to understand everything. I think I got it wrong after your explanation with metta. That's the end of the question.
Little, no, not the little Dhamma, rather little, you know, requisites we can say. Now, say for example, as a monk, how many things we need? So basically Buddha highlights, okay, for a monk, okay, there are four requisites. Four types of requisites. You need food, you need clothes, that is the robes, and you need a place to live, and you need medicine if you get sick. So those are the four things. For lay people, very similar. So you need a place, you need a house to stay, you need some medicine if you get sick, you need food to eat, and you need clothes to wear. And in order to support all this, now you are doing kind of a occupation, a job. And now you have so many other things. So that is how, you know, that the whole thing become complicated. And you have so many desires. You have so many things. You want so many things. Ultimately, it's become a burden. So if there are so many things, so many possessions, now you have to look after so many things. So it's quite difficult. But for the one who has less possessions, less belongings, then his mind is quite lighter, because nothing much to be worried. You know, you have very little to look after. And that is the mentality that highlighted in the first case, appicchata, where you have less needs. Yeah.
That is the end of the written question. So we are almost just 5 minutes more on the session. I think we will close for today. So first, I'd like to thank Pante for his valuable time with the busy schedule at the monastery, for joining our program and explaining the Dhamma to us. For all the supporters of this program, both seen and unseen, and for the participants for joining today for the practice and submitting their questions and following the Dhamma. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Teruvan Sarnai.
Yeah, Teruvan Sarnai.